Have you noticed this feeling in the air? A low-grade tension, like the faint smell of smoke in a building where the fire alarm never quite goes off. Or maybe the subtle smell of rot under the bed perfume. You walk down any major street in the U.S. and you'll see it in the eyes of the people pretending not to notice the growing tent cities pitched under the overpasses. And you'll hear it in the way conversations have basically turned into shouting matches about whose version of the facts are true. You'll taste it in the food that somehow costs twice as much while containing half as much food and even less nutrition. The roads crack your suspension. The bridges look like relics from civilization long gone. And it's not just the cracks in the sidewalk, it's the cracks in the soul. Schools are underfunded, teachers underpaid, colleges cost the price of a house, and the house itself costs the price of a lifetime of indentured servitude. And jobs don't feel like careers anymore. They're just endless gigs strung together with side hustles, all while wages stagnate and debt climbs like mold up the walls. Are we having fun yet? And meanwhile, relationships erode. Marriage and birth rates are in decline. Loneliness is rampant, and people are turning to AI companions to fill the void. Kids are raised by smartphones, and adults soothe themselves with pills or booze or, you know, the glowing slot machine in their pockets we call a phone these days. And it seems that mental illness is less a medical problem now and more like a traumatic cultural collective unconscious. We've got the climate alternating between droughts, floods, fire, and increasingly unpredictable storms. Well, insurance companies, they just quietly tiptoe out of entire states, because of course they do. And as the planet reshapes itself, the country can't even agree on whether it's happening, or if it is, whether it's the planet's fault for being too sensitive. So this is collapse. It's not really a single cataclysmic event. It's more like 1,000 hairline fractures spreading across daily life. It's a death, not with a bang, but with a groan of disgust, a shrug, plenty of denial, and a prescription refill. Everyone's exhausted. Nearly everyone is broke and in some kind of debt, and everyone's supposed to just smile about it because toxic positivity gaslights us into doing so. And these are the omens. It's not a dramatic scene of fire raining from the sky, and it's not exactly barbarians at the gates. It's just a slow decay, eaten from the inside out. The empire, it isn't going to explode. It's going to deflate. Probably quietly, but awkwardly, like a balloon at a kid's birthday party. And when it finally gives out, those in denial will be shocked. But others won't be surprised at all. They'll just shrug and say, well, we saw it coming. So here's the funny thing about democracy in the US. It's mostly a suggestion box. You can drop your little paper in there every 4 years, but the people in charge, they're not actually reading it. They're too busy cashing checks from lobbyists. Noam Chomsky broke this down perfectly in Requiem for the American Dream. He called it the concentration of wealth and power. Basically, the rich write the rules, and the rest of us just get to cosplay as citizens. And you're told your voice matters, but it matters in the same way clapping at the end of a Marvel movie matters. Nobody at Disney is changing the script because you clapped extra hard for Iron Man. And the whole thing is designed to look like it's working. I mean, we've got elections, debates, red versus blue, like a football game where the same corporation owns both teams. And you're supposed to pick a side, scream at your neighbors, and then ignore the fact that no matter who wins, Goldman Sachs keeps their skybox seats. So Chris Hedges called this the empire of illusion. He said the bread and circuses model never really went away. It just evolved and adapted over time. So Rome had gladiators, but we have reality TV. They had coliseums. We have NFL stadiums with corporate sponsors. The point is the same. Keep people entertained, distracted, and just comfortable enough not to revolt. But the catch is that empires rot from the inside when the illusion wears thin. And when people realize no matter how many hours they work and they can't afford rent, when healthcare is a scam, higher education is debt bondage, and wages have been flat since the 70s, but billionaires are flying their pets on private jets, that's when the magic trick falls apart. And we're right there, squinting at the stage, starting to notice the wires holding the rabbit out of the hat. Now, the truth is, the U.S. is not really a democracy. It's more like an oligarchy in a democracy costume. It's Halloween every day, except the only ones trick-or-treating are oil executives and defense contractors. Oh, and let's not forget the pharmaceutical industry. And they're the ones walking away with all the candy, while you're left holding an empty pillowcase wondering why you even bothered. All right, so empires don't just fall because the bridges collapse or the aqueducts dry up. They fall when people stop being able to tell the difference between reality and entertainment. And let's face it, the U.S. has practically built an entire economy on not knowing the difference. Now, Kurt Anderson nailed this in his book, Fantasyland. His argument is that the U.S. has always had a soft spot for delusion. Puritans chasing visions, snake oil salesmen hawking miracle tonics, and nowadays we have influencers selling you things like NFTs of cartoon apes that were supposed to make you rich. The difference now is scale. We've built multi-billion dollar industries out of unreality. We worship celebrities we'll never meet, and we buy products we don't need, and we swallow conspiracy theories because that's what happens when people can no longer agree upon what's real and what isn't. I think Chris Hedges put it more bluntly in Empire of Illusion. We are a culture addicted to spectacle. Rome had gladiators. We have billionaires slap fighting on Twitter. They had bread and circuses. We've got Disney adults in full costume screaming at cast members because the magic didn't feel authentic enough. And honestly, it makes sense. If the empire is collapsing around you, distraction is cheaper than dignity. The Romans got free grain and blood sports. We get streaming services and vape pens and Domino promising you a new crust innovation on a regular basis. Different shape, but same indigestion. So the problem is that when fantasy becomes the default setting, people lose their ability to confront reality. And we live in a country where the climate collapse is happening in real time, but half the population thinks it's a hoax, and the other half is too busy binge-watching apocalypse content on Netflix to do anything about it. And the irony is that we are romanticizing collapse before it's even fully here. It's like watching a horror movie while the house is actually on fire. And underneath the spectacle, there's this quiet despair. Now, sociologists call this deaths of despair. Suicides, overdoses, alcoholism, addiction. People numbing themselves because reality has become too raw, meaningless, and frankly, just too unbearable. Nonetheless, the empire doesn't mind, and it doesn't care if you're distracted by TikTok or if you're invisible to society, as long as you keep feeding the machine until you're empty, until you're used up. So this is where we are now. We are a society anesthetized by fantasy, collapsing in real time, but watching it on screens as if it's entertainment, which I guess it is. But the fall of the U.S. empire, it isn't going to look like Rome burning while Nero played a lyre. It's going to look more like an unboxing video on YouTube that cuts to black halfway through. Now, the thing about empires is they all think they're special. The United States swears it's the exception. Because, you know, U.S. exceptionalism. But, of course, Rome thought that too. And the British thought the sun would never set on their empire. But now, the only place it doesn't set is a pub at midnight with a bartender yelling last call. And the Soviets, well, they had a whole superpower image to maintain. You know, parades, missiles, astronauts, etc. And it all looked untouchable until one day it wasn't. The Berlin Wall, it didn't fall because of one speech. It fell because the cracks had been spreading for decades. And then one day, people just stopped pretending that it worked. And that's more or less how collapse happens. It's not overnight. And it's not with one dramatic explosion. It's a slow erosion until suddenly the structure can't hold itself up anymore. And honestly, it appears that the U.S. is right on schedule. You know, we've got the military overstretch of Rome, the financial hubris of the British, and we've got the political theater of the Soviet Union. Except our version comes with commercials and sponsored content. And it's kind of funny when you think about it, because Rome distracted with people with gladiators, but we've got influencers selling hair gummies. Yeah. Humans are a wild, weird lot. So the British Empire looted spices from half the planet. And in the U.S., we have Taco Bell serving you a Doritos Locos taco like it's a cultural innovation. The Soviet Union had propaganda, but we've got Fox News and MSNBC doing the same thing, just with fancier lighting and angrier graphics, I guess. So the echoes are all there, and you can see them if you squint hard enough. Bread and circuses, overreach and arrogance. A ruling class that's convinced it's untouchable. A working class that's exhausted but still told they should be grateful. And we have a culture that's so wrapped up in its own mythology, it can't even imagine the story ending any other way. And throughout history, every empire believed it was different and impervious. I mean, the U.S. thinks Netflix and nuclear weapons will somehow keep it afloat forever. But that's kind of the punchline. Collapse doesn't care about your confidence, and it doesn't care about your slogans or your flags or your GDP charts. Collapse just shows up quietly and then all at once. And when it does, people will act shocked and they'll say, how could this happen here? In the United States of America? The same way the Romans probably said, how could this happen in Rome? We were civilized. We had aqueducts. But the truth is, no empire sees its own reflection until it's too late. So I think the strangest thing about living in a collapsing empire is how normal it feels. You'd think it would be utter chaos. Fire in the streets, military on every corner. But most of the time, it's just people going to work, buying lattes, posting memes about how broke they are. And collapse doesn't feel like an action movie. It feels like waiting at the DMV, endless, boring decay. Now, there's a term for this called hypernormalization. And the Soviet Union went through this towards the end of the 1980s. I did a video on hypernormalization, which you can find here on the channel if you're interested. Apparently, denial is just easier. It's easier to scroll on your phone and just binge another season and convince yourself that somebody smarter is handling it. Somebody somewhere has all this under control, right? Because if you really stop to face it, if you looked the collapse like straight in the eyes, it would probably crush you. Alan Watts once said that part of the problem is people take life too seriously, as if death were some kind of mistake. That's denial in a nutshell. Pretending we're immortal and that empires are immortal, pretending your landlord raising your rent 40% is just inflation and not a sign that the system is eating itself alive. But denial has a cost, and that's where you get conspiracy theories. People grasping at any story that makes chaos, makes all the chaos make sense. So hypernormalization makes it easier to believe lizard people are in charge, rather than accept that no one's in charge, and the ship is just drifting aimlessly. And we're all numbing ourselves in various ways to various degrees, some of us to the point of deaths of despair. This isn't an accident. It's ultimately people opting out of a game that feels hopelessly rigged. You can barely pay rent. You can't afford health insurance. You can't find meaning anywhere in your life, so you find escape. Whether it's in a bottle, a pill, a needle, and more often than anything else, a screen. Whatever. Collapse is quiet. It's personal. Collapse is millions of people slowly giving up in one way or another. And then there are the optimists, the ones who say, well, we'll innovate our way out of all this. Well, maybe. Just like Rome thought they could invent their way out of the barbarian invasions, or like the Soviets who thought they could 5-year plan themselves into paradise. The U.S. thinks it's going to beat collapse with an app. Download the new Empire 2.0 update, now with 20% less poverty. The truth is, denial feels good until it doesn't. It feels like safety until the roof finally caves in. And by the time you stop pretending, it's just too late. But I think the only way out is through. Now here's the thing about collapse. It's rarely a single epic and horrific event. It's not like in the movies where everyone screams at the sky. The sky is turning red or whatever. You know, most of the time, it's just weird, calmly weird. Like the moment your fridge stops working and you realize you've been eating expired yogurt for a week and somehow survived. So after the Empire stops pretending it's invincible, life doesn't end. It just mutates. For example, downtowns that used to have empty storefronts, they're now empty storefronts with a community garden in the front. Empty parking lots become unofficial skate parks. Social media echo chambers, well, they're still there, but people start using them to organize neighbors for mutual aid instead of arguments about politicians and sports ball. A collapse doesn't erase humanity. It just forces us to find the cracks and live in them. And it teaches us to improvise. Now, in some tiny, scattered ways, I think the U.S. is already starting to look like this. You know, multi-generational households aren't some sad statistic anymore. They're actually people rediscovering how to rely on each other. So, in addition to those things, I think, you know, the near future might look something like this. Side hustles aren't just for extra cash. They're teaching skills that no corporation is ever going to pay you to learn. Water systems failing. Community wells and rain barrels suddenly feel like innovation. I think we start seeing creativity and resilience sprout in the least glamorous places. Gradually, maybe people start taking matters into their own hands. Growing food, living off grid in various capacities, you know, doing even small things in the community like do-it-yourself pothole repair. It's absurd, of course, because the empire was supposed to promise progress and eternal prosperity. But now, it's a half-empty Walmart parking lot with a guy selling kombucha on the hood of his car. The U.S. may still exist on maps, but on the ground, it looks like a civilization trying to remember how to survive without corporate HR and billion-dollar ad campaigns or reality TV governors. And yes, there's grief and pain. People mourn the world that was, the faux stability, the promises, all the illusions. But I think in the middle of that grief, there's also this strange sense of liberation. And it's terrifying, but oddly hopeful. So without the empire constantly whispering in your ear that you need to be richer, thinner, faster, younger, more productive, and so forth, I think you get to actually breathe, finally. Maybe you get to reimagine what life could be, even in miniature abstract ways. Now, don't get me wrong, I think collapse, it's chaotic and painful and undoubtedly confusing, but it's also a weird kind of opportunity. At least that's the way I see it currently. I think the trick is in noticing it before you're buried under the bills, the misinformation, the debt, and the despair. And look, collapse isn't a finish line. It's a landscape. And right now, I think the U.S. is just starting to show these small glimpses of the first blurry sketches of that new, awkward, unpolished map. Okay. So what do you actually do when the empire you've been raised to worship is quietly rotting around you? Well, the first thing I'd suggest is take a breath. No, seriously, you're going to need some oxygen. The collapse itself isn't really up for debate, but how you respond to it is. The first thing is just admitting how absurd it all is. The U.S. isn't suddenly going to morph into Switzerland with better pizza. It's not going to clean itself up and start running smoothly. It's going to be messy and ridiculous, sometimes hilarious in the darkest of ways, and sometimes it's going to be horrifying. And the sooner you embrace radical acceptance, the lighter it all feels. You stop wasting energy fighting the tide and you start learning how to swim sideways. Then there's the question of what you can actually control. You're not going to fix Congress or the IRS or the stock market, but you can cook your own meals, learn how to grow food, and maybe learn to fix your own sink. It's a start. You can learn a skill that might actually matter in a post-collapse world. I think those small, stubborn acts of self-sufficiency are little rebellions. They keep you sane and they make you feel less like you're chained to a dying machine. And I think they can lead to bigger changes down the road. I mean, we got to start somewhere. Now, as much as everyone hates to hear this, community matters. Institutions are already failing, and they're only going to get worse. Governments, corporations, social services, none of them are really reliable anymore. So you're left with people. You know, family, friends, neighbors, weird little co-ops, multi-generational households. It's not romantic. It's survival with a little humanity mixed in. And yeah, it's messy and awkward and usually annoying, but it's still better than going it completely alone. And look, I say this as a loner myself. Another thing, try to stay awake, but don't burn yourself out. Collapse awareness, it can definitely be exhausting. And I think between conspiracy rabbit holes and media noise and all the economic stress, it's like drinking from a fire hose aimed directly at your brain. So pick your battles. Read some Chomsky or Hedges if that helps you vent and think straighter. But also read up on how to build self-sufficiency as an individual and within a community. And look, don't forget the simple things like watching a sunset and laugh at how idiotic and amazing all of this is. Write something. Embrace simple pleasures. And I always say, humor is a kind of resistance. I like mine. I take mine dry and dark. Thank you very much. And while you're at it, keep questioning everything, including these so-called solutions, because empires collapse when they stop questioning themselves. We shouldn't fall into the same trap. Ask why things are the way they are. Challenge assumptions. Be brutally honest with yourself. Exercise critical thinking. Try a little radical honesty, even though it may be scary. And maybe share what you figured out with someone who isn't a total idiot. Ideally, someone who can also laugh at a joke about a crumbling bridge or whatever. Now look, I don't have all the answers or any definitive answers really. I'm just a cog here like everyone else, and I'm just doing my best under the circumstances. So I think in the end it really comes down to this. Embrace impermanence and learn to live in the present moment. As cliche as it sounds, nothing lasts forever, not even the United States as we know it. And yeah, that may sound grim, but I think it's also freeing. I think you get to define meaning for yourself instead of waiting for a broken system to hand you one. And you get to carve out something akin to purpose in the middle of collapse. And sure, it's chaotic and ridiculous. It's heartbreaking. But it's also completely, terrifyingly alive. I don't think collapse has to be a horror story. I think it can also be a stage for honesty and creativity and ultimately connection. And if nothing else, at the very least, it gives you some incredible material for stories. So this is it. The U.S. is limping along, dressed up in its corporate Halloween costume, pretending everything is fine while the potholes get deeper and the student loans pile higher and, you know, the politicians carry on with their bad acting performance. And maybe all that sounds terrifying, and it is, but the absurdity is almost comforting in a way. The Empire doesn't have a master plan, and the sky isn't going to fall like in a movie trailer. It's just crumbling piece by piece, with all of us caught somewhere in the mess, trying to figure out which pieces are ours to hold on to and which ones we should take with a grain of salt. So the good news is you get to pick your part. You can focus on the little things that matter: community, creativity, resilience, humor. You can refuse to be distracted by the manufactured spectacle. And you can be honest with yourself about what's broken and what you can actually do about it, if anything. And yes, it's grimy, it's grim, and it's hilarious sometimes in that can't believe this is real way. But that's life inside a crumbling empire. You keep breathing, you keep thinking, and maybe you find some dignity in all the insanity. And what else is there? So, when someone asks you if the U.S. is collapsing, you can shrug, pour yourself a drink, and say, yeah, but at least the Wi-Fi still works, mostly, for now. Because collapse is inevitable. But I think perspective and a little gallows humor can make it survivable. All right, that's all I got. Thanks for watching.